Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as He is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in His Word that He would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Doing great, bro.
And, of course, also with us is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
Praise the Lord. Doing great.
Well, praise God. You know, we recently just did an episode concerning secular music, not only secular in terms of just not being believers making music, but we also did demonic music and some of the questions that we get and answer them. But one thing that we talk about a lot as well is Christian music and some of the music that is in Christianity, some of the artists that are calling themselves Christians, some of those who don't wish to be called Christian but want to make money off Christians. But nonetheless, we want to talk about some of the lyrical content of some of the music that's being sung on Sundays, that's being sung throughout the day, you know, whether you have Air One or K-Love or something on, some of the lyrics that are being, you know, out there and some of the more popular songs that we hear. And the first one I'm going to bring up that it has always been bothersome to me is a song. It's been covered by a number of big major artists. Newsboys have even covered this song, Jesus Culture. But it wasn't originally written by Jesus Culture, but it starts off with the lyrics, "Nothing can separate, even if I run away." That is the edifice of the song, okay? And so this is a love that never fails, that is far different than the scriptural love that never fails. So it's a song that if I hear it on the radio, it's something I turn off immediately. I say, I don't want to listen to that. If that's the beginning of it, I don't want to hear the rest of the message, because that to me is rubbish. It's not scriptural. Okay. If you said a prayer at some point in your life and then decide to run away, you are not good soil. The seed has never taken root. I believe you're part of the group that 1 John 2:19 or Matthew 7:21-23, you say, "I never knew you. You're never of us." If you just want to run away and nothing can separate because you can do whatever you want, I believe a lot of you guys are probably somebody who would listen to that song is not somebody who is with Jesus. And so it's something that to sing that as a worship song is very problematic. Wouldn't you say, Joe?
Well, I'd say if somebody could listen to that song and not know better, and they could be hearing those lyrics and listen to the rest of the lyrics, maybe not paying attention or not thinking them through, or maybe they believe that, but they're still could be walking with Jesus still, even though they believe that lie that you can run away from Jesus sure. And still be, you know, right with Him. The scripture it's certainly true that neither height nor depth, principality, power, any other created thing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. No one can separate us. But then it twists that teaching, which is a beautiful teaching, goes well with John 10, that no one can snatch us out of the Lord's hands, the Father or the Son's. So even Satan can't snatch us or separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. However, if you decide to run away like he says he does, and you stay away, and you claim that, hey, in that case, I'm still right with Jesus. Now you're talking about you. And the scriptures specifically state in Romans 11, just a few chapters later, that if you don't continue in the faith, Paul says, you'll be cut off from the tree. Jesus said in John, or from the vine, actually, there, in John 15:6, Jesus said, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. Abide in me, you'll bear much fruit." In John 15:6, he said, "If anyone does not remain in me, he withers and is, you know, cut off as a branch and thrown in the fire and burned." So the very scriptures, like in John 10, have to be read with John 15. Romans 8, where nothing is separated from the love of God, needs to be read with Romans 11, which states that you personally, these other outside things he mentions can't, but then you specifically are told to continue the faith or you will be cut off. Paul states it very clearly. So that is a very, very serious false doctrine. As you said, that's basically the theme of the song. And when people read, and by the way, so much contemporary Christian music is filled with this idea that no matter what I do, and you know, it's almost like they're glorying in their license.
There's a Torrin Wells song called "Known," and it says, "You won't let go no matter what I do." So it's like they're not realizing the difference between the God who loves us But it's our hearts. We're the ones who run away. His love never fails, like that other song says. But we fail, and we can run away. Yeah. And that's our heart. That would be on us. That's not on God.
And it's weird to, because you'll hear this, you know, in a lot of different churches. You know, this is a worship song, you know, and it's just, it's mind-boggling to me that, you know, that can happen where you're listening to this. And it's not repeated throughout the song. It really isn't, you know, yeah, but
it's the way it opens.
It's the way it opens. And so I think that there's, like he said, there seems to be this just thread, you know, throughout a lot of music. And it what does it turn it back to? It's not really about God. It's about me. You know, me, me, me. And it's like, I want these songs to be about the Lord. I want to sing to the Lord.
Amen.
And so I think that we need to do a good job also, not simply of just testing secular music and demonic music and making sure we're not listening to that. But I think it's really important that we do look at some of these songs in contemporary music and say, what is the lyrical content? We could get into some of the false churches like Bethel and stuff that are putting out a lot of music that's going out there and some of the dangers of being involved with those cults. But yeah. This one specifically, just thinking about music, I wanted to talk about that, and we want to talk about that as a group, thinking about music and making sure that what? It aligns with Scripture, so that what you're worshiping is aligned with Scripture.
Yeah, amen. And then you look at the lyrics, they're cringeworthy, man. I mean, I've seen this and heard this song, and it's funny because we've all heard this song separately, and we've all cringed, like, wow, you know? Nothing can separate, even if I ran away. Your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes. Just the soft mistakes. That's like, I think of mistakes is when you order pepperoni pizza and the guy, pizza man, brings over anchovy pizza. Okay? That's a mistake. Sin, when you break God's moral law, that's sin. And you don't see the word mistake a lot in Scripture. You know, you'll see the word sin used hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. So, and sin is transgression, it says in 1 John, transgression of God's law. So, right away, and then it says, you have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails. And it made me think of Psalm 101, because I usually think of the first part of that, but I started looking at the lyrics, I started looking at the first couple of stanzas. I was like, man, there's a lot of problems there, because the idea is your mercy is going to be there every day, and the context is, even if I ran away from you. And of course, he, like the prodigal son's father, he has outstretched hands. He has opened. We believe, you know, we believe that God offers grace to everybody, mm-hmm. and the atonement's provided for everybody. It breaks my heart, because people that are often away from God and have run away from him and are involved in adultery or sexual sin or they're doing, you know, getting drunk and or they're involved in, you know, theft or whatever, the vices that so many professing Christians today, they hear these things, these songs, and they're comforted in their sins, you know. They're thinking, well, it's just a mistake, and yeah, his mercies are here, and even though I'm not seeking him anymore, I don't pray anymore, but I'm glad I turned on this Christian radio to know that he's with me no matter what I'm doing, even though I've run from him. But I was thinking of Psalm, you know, 103, and it talks about, you know, his grace, how far as the east is from the west, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgression from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And it goes on to continually state about his loving kindness, but the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. But it says, on those who fear him, it goes on to say again. And it mentions that over and over again. If I don't fear him, I've run away from him, I can't expect his compassion to be with me forever. And that's the lie that's being sold today. And it's very serious.
No, I think that's a really good insight to that. Instead of it being sin, instead of I've made transgressions against you, it's, oh,
you and only you have I sinned against. You don't hear that, right?
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, it's very different than the Psalm of David, you know, in repentance. And hearing those word mistakes, sadly, it's not just from the guitar and the mic stand. Okay, you're hearing those from the pulpit. That, oh, you know, we all make mistakes.
That's right.
And
that's a good point.
It's not that you've sinned against an almighty God. He made laws. You broke them. He put them on your heart. You broke them. You seared your conscience with a hot iron. You're meditating on these things. So even those, sadly, these are people that are meditating on music that is quote unquote Christian, but yet meditating on things that are not doctrinal.
Absolutely. There's so little doctrine in the Christian church today. This was a song I thought was interesting. I saw years ago and I was like, man, those are some really sad lyrics. And it's just another example where bad doctrine gets into the music. And this is a band, by the way, that has better lyrics typically than a lot of the popular contemporary Christian music. but it has some really awful stuff too. And it's called Cabin's Call. Cabin's Call has, this song is called Prove Me Wrong. And they're a Calvinistic band. And therefore, you know, as Calvinists believe in unconditional election, that God doesn't ultimately want most people to be saved, you know. Not sure if they'd express it that way. But listen to these lyrics. Because one of the problems I have with Calvinism is not only does it make God into a monster, and the atheists who have the worst kinds of thoughts about our God, their thoughts are confirmed often by Calvinists who teach that he wants most people to be tortured and burned in hell for eternity. And that's really his ultimate will. And he could simply just, you know, snap his fingers and they could become the elect, but he's chosen not to because he wants to be glorified by them burning and not really give them a true opportunity at grace and even have his son die for them. And what, so one reason I have a struggle with Calvinism is because of how it makes Jesus look. When I see Jesus, just say, if you see me, you've seen the Father. He's the one who says, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavily burdened. Amen. That's our God, that he was willing that none would perish, you know, and he is willing that none that would perish. But the other concern is, there's a lot of concerns. But one concern as well is the doctrine that you really can't fall away, or you wouldn't fall away, depending on what form of Calvinism it is. But another problem is the idea that, I mean, if you're being told that, you know, there's only a few that have actually been chosen and the others can't come to Christ, even if they, and hypothetically, from a Calvinistic standpoint, they would never turn to Christ because he only draws the elect. We believe, Jesus, as Jesus said, he draws all men. But it's interesting, Cademan's Call, listen to this song, because as I mentioned this in one of our shows a while back, where the first person I led to Christ sometime later had mentioned that, or she was just drunk, and she'd end up in a Calvinistic church, and she said she was taught that, you know, and she believed that either she was chosen and she couldn't be saved, or she was not chosen, and or she wasn't chosen and she can't be saved, or she was chosen and can't be lost, and she was fully drunk. We warned her, my wife and I, that you got to get right with the Lord, you know. But her idea was that you're chosen or you're not. And many, many Calvinists struggle with assurance of salvation because they don't know, how do you know if you're chosen or not? We've talked about that at some length before, so don't get into the whole theology behind that and some of the theological problems. But listen to this song. It sounds like the author of that song is struggling with this very idea. Sometimes I fear, maybe I am not chosen. You've hardened my heart like Pharaoh. And that would explain why life is so hard for me. That's really sad, these lyrics, when I've read them in the past, and same feeling again. Am I sad that Esau hated, crying against what's fated? It's the idea that you're fated, you have no choice, like Esau. Saying, Father, please, is there any left for me? So he feels like he's Pharaoh, he's maybe Esau, and then he says, make my walls fall, please prove me wrong, because this resentment's been building. So this person who's writing this song is having resentment toward God because he wasn't perhaps chosen. And burn them up with your fire so strong if you can before I bawl. Some write it as bawl, like Baal, like to tie it in with Esau and Pharaoh. But I think he's talking about crying there. Please prove me wrong. He writes, I fear maybe this is all just a game. And in Calvinism, I mean, you're just part of your pawns on a chessboard. I mean, you have no real ultimate choice. It's all been predestined. And our friends and our families all play to harness the young and give some comfort to the old. Cast all my doubts. Please prove me wrong, because these demons can be so headstrong. And when you read that, it's like, wow, this person feels demonized. They feel, and I personally believe that this is a doctrine of demons. It's to state that the God who said he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And the word world there, you just follow cosmos through the Gospel of John. That's a lost world that he gave his son for. There's no way around it when you look at the Greek contextually. The word cosmos there and how it's used even in the passage, because that same world goes on to hate Jesus and not come to the light that he so loved, that God so loved that he gave his son. So you think of those beautiful, precious truths about our Lord, and then they get twisted and know he really only salvifically loves a very few people, and you can hope that you're one of those few, but you really can't know that he loves you and that Jesus died for you until you die and go to heaven. Because remember, Calvin taught that God even deludes people into thinking they're saved, and how do you know you're not one of those guys?
You know, it's interesting, you talked about that Cademan Call song, because they he's specifically talking about himself. And I had read another song, actually I'd heard it, and I was like, tell me that didn't say what I think it said. And the lyric said, if the sheep know his voice, then tell me what is the choice for the ones who haven't heard and have no need to rejoice. Father, help me understand, because I am just like him, and Lord, he's just like me. We came from the same town and the same family.
Wow, same deal.
It's the same deal. But now this is somebody not just looking at themselves and what they're going through, but seeing someone who's unsaved, and instead of seeing it as a person who deliberately made the choice not to follow Christ, and apparently in the same family as the person who wrote this song, who deliberately has chosen not to follow Christ, and who does it put the blame on?
Yeah.
Tell me, hey, God, we're the same. We grew up in the same family. If the sheep just hear his voice, tell me, what's the choice? He never really had a choice. So who is ultimately the culprit of that person not coming to faith?
And what this person seems to be saying in that song from, a Calvinistic perspective, is they're realizing in their understanding that if God's arbitrary, and arbitrary means without any, you know, apparent reason, if arbitrarily chooses some and doesn't choose the vast majority of people, that how can he really even experience his love one way or another? Because he could have just as easily been one that God didn't love. So what kind of God is this who is not omnibenevolent, but, you know, hates most people and only wants a few people to be saved? And so he's recognizing that could have just, if it's just a flip of a coin kind of thing or an arbitrary kind of thing, which obviously it's not, but that's the way this gentleman seems to feel. It really gives you a strange and a sad view about who God is. I so love the fact that God revealed himself in the pages of scripture. Even the rich young ruler, and when he rejected Jesus and his call to follow him, says Jesus loved him. And we don't have to wonder whether or not he has called us. We don't have to wonder whether or not Jesus tasted death for us. We don't have to wonder whether or not he loves us. He so loved the world. That includes us. He even loved the rich young ruler. And Jesus is the propitiation not only for our sins, or for the sins of the whole world. So the sad thing is there's a lot of false doctrine coming out in these songs. And by the way, Calvinism coming out in the music is the least of the problems in contemporary Christian music. I say the bigger problems is this easy believism, which thankfully a lot of Calvinists stand against. And I appreciate that. And I do call my Calvinist brethren, that they stand against that. That seems to be the bigger problem, because I'm usually driving down the road, not hearing the songs we just mentioned, although it's there too. It's a lot of doctrine that needs to be cleaned up. But usually getting this idea, this greasy grace deal, this, you know, easy believism, cheap grace. And it's cheap grace because it's grace that doesn't transform the life, you know. And you mentioned that, you know, the people that would actually run away from him, you know, they had no root or what have you. And it's true in many cases, but there are people who can harden their hearts and can also fall away from the Lord. And the scriptures warn about that. Not to harden your heart to you don't hear the voice of the Lord. So those of us who are believers who have been rooted in the Word and walking in the Spirit and in love with Jesus, we have to stay close and we need to be concerned about what we're filling our hearts and minds with. And we don't want to just listen to any old Christian music, because so much of it now is just full of fluff, you know? And I know that's something you're going to get into, Chad, because a lot of it's the lyrics are, you don't know if they're singing to a girl or to Jesus. Mm-hmm.
No, that's exactly right. And I'm going to read these lyrics. I don't know how much commentary we can really give to it, because it's hard to even read. And to think that this is supposed to be, like you said, we don't know half the time. You could be driving down the road and you're like, is this a Christian artist? I can't tell, because they say nothing about Jesus. I don't know if it's a love song and who it's to. And sometimes they're just vastly inappropriate, like this one. Mm-hmm. Jesus Culture. All right. The song's called I Am In Love With You. Here's some of the lyrics. Every day my heart is in lust for you, so I will abandon myself to you.
That's sick, man.
I cannot imagine who wrote that down and decided this would be a good lyric. And it's something I think about a lot. This is absolutely just grotesque to me, like to read that.
Somebody needs a thesaurus, I guess. Huh? Pick a different word.
Yeah.
But one thing to me, and this is for my walk, I remember when I came to a place where I was like, hey, I don't want to listen to even Christian music that I don't know who it's talking to, who it's talking about. I don't know if it's talking about their lover. There's been artists, the woman who came out, she was a Christian artist and then became a lesbian. So who knows who she was writing these songs to. Mm. I want to know who you're talking about. I want to know if you're talking about the King on High. And I remember sharing this with someone. This was probably about 8 or 9 years ago. I've come to faith now for 10 and a half years. And I remember sharing that exact thing with her. Hey, you know, I just have a real struggle. I don't really like listening to songs, even Christian songs, that I don't know who they're talking to. I want to know that I'm worshiping the Lord. And I remember her words to me were, oh yeah, I remember when I used to be that way, but now I realize that I can listen to secular music and get a lot out of it. And I just remember thinking, you know, I never want to mature to a place where I want to fall less in love with Jesus, you know? Yeah. And I remember thinking that and only growing stronger in that belief as I've grown in my walk.
Yeah, I remember a gentleman when I was a young believer was sharing the gospel, and it was Olympics in the early 80s. And, you know, and then, you know, an older gentleman in the same church I was going to said, yeah, I used to do that when I was young, you know? But I got older, you know, and nothing against that gentleman. Praise God he shared the gospel, and hopefully he does still in some, or did. I don't know how old. He'd be pretty old by now because I'm older. But it kind of broke my heart, but it was a warning to me. It was like, Lord, help me never say I used to share the gospel, you know? It's interesting, too, another song by Bethel. This song is another cringeworthy song, Calling All Angels. I mean, the Bible warns us to call on the name of the Lord, you know? Mm-hmm. We're not supposed to be calling spirits. And the Bible says God makes his angels ministering spirits, Hebrews chapter 1. And there are lyrics, calling all angels, calling the watchmen angels on the walls to come and sing with us. You are not supposed to call other beings, angels, spirits to come and worship with you. That's pretty scary, especially when you see a lot of the stuff associated with Bethel and a lot of the charismania that's out there, and the whole Laughing Revival and the Toronto Blessing that we exposed years ago. That thing hasn't really disappeared. That's just mutated in different forms of the NAR movement, National, or the New Apostolic Reformation, where you don't have a library big enough to hold all the books that promote and all the lies and the articles and teachings that promote these things. And you're having people drift more and more away from being Christ-centered and Bible-centered, getting all these strange things. And it's no wonder people are going through all these strange experiences. I remember when, and we've got a 3-part series if people want to check it out on our YouTube channel, on the Laughing Revival, and we show clip after clip after clip where, I mean, people sound like they're just demon-possessed, just the weirdest screams and stuff, unearthly. I mean, you know, you couldn't even imitate some of these screams if you tried. And this is supposed to be worship, and it was interesting to me because I gave quotes and so forth where in the Vineyard or different places early on, they felt it was demonic, you know? They'd even take people out to try to cast a demon out of them, and they said it just grew, you know? To the point where they thought, oh, it must be the Holy Spirit then. And then they called it a revival. And now guess what? A lot of that same counterfeit spirit's at work. And you have people drifting away from Jesus and calling out spirits, you know, to come and sing with them. And that, I mean, where does your mind have to be even to write lyrics like that? It's heartbreaking. We need to stay scriptural. We need to make sure we pray for these people, you know, that we don't have a holier-than-thou attitude, that we don't, like, you know, have a mindset, well, oh, they weren't chosen, you know, anything like we just talked about. We have an attitude like, wait, these are people that Christ died for, that a lot of these people are listening to going to these churches, listening to this music, not caring about doctrine, not caring about their behavior because of so much of the doctrine. We have to realize that these are people for whom Christ died, you know, we have to pray for them, but we also need to have enough love to expose it, and be willing to be misunderstood even, so we can let people know, give them a heads up as to what's going on, so they can, I mean, look at Jesus throughout his letters to the 7 churches. 5 of those 7 churches he rebuked because they were allowing false doctrine or bad behavior in their churches. And at the end of each admonition and encouragement as well to some of those churches, you hear the refrain, you know, words like, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, you know? So we need to all hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And we need to all evaluate our own lives. And as Paul said, after he warned in 1 Timothy chapter 4 that the Holy Spirit speaks expressly that last days some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons near the beginning of that chapter, at the end of that chapter, he says to Timothy to watch your life and your doctrine. And in so doing, you'll save yourself and those who hear you. So we really need to watch our lives and say, okay, you know, what am I allowing in the ear gate? What am I allowing in the eye gate? You know, what am I allowing in my heart? Am I allowing things that are corrosive to me spiritually? Am I allowing things that would cause me to compromise morally? And then doctrinally, am I a student of the word, or am I just parroting things I'm hearing on the radio or from a favorite Bible teacher? We want to make sure that we're testing everything. I said in the last message I just preached last night, a Wednesday night message, and I said, you need to test everybody. I said, you need to especially test me because you're going to this fellowship. Yeah, you need to make sure what I'm saying, that you're reading this in the scripture, you know, because I'm concerned about, and we all need to be concerned about people's eternal welfare. And so I think it's really important that we address these kinds of issues. And I'm glad we have a platform. I mean, I've got a very, 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 as you guys know, I come squeaking in here barely, I try to get here between 3 and 3:30, and today I was a little bit after 3:30 because I'm juggling a lot of things. But to me, it's a labor of love, and I thought, you know what? Let's do this podcast because I know we're going to share a lot of scripture. We're going to do a lot of issues that very few podcasts are dealing with. So this is a great opportunity to reach out, and we praise God that we have an audience, so many people in our audience that love Jesus, love truth, and that we're working together. It's awesome, hand in hand, to spread the good news and be that remnant that the Lord talks about in the end times.
No, it's these questions are so important to people, and I think it's really interesting when we contrast some of these false movements with some of the false doctrine in their music that they get snuck in.
Yeah.
A lot of times when you think about some of the great actual revivals, when you think of people like John Wesley and what was born out of that, Charles Wesley, his brother, right, the hymnal writer. I mean, some of the most beautiful,
more hymns than pretty much anyone,
right?
And great ones.
C.T. Studd, right, part of the Cambridge Seven, and. You know, I love his poem, you know, that he wrote that was, it's called Only One Life, and it's Only One Life to Soon Be Passed, Only What's Done for Christ Will Last, and When I Am Dying, How Happy I'll Be If the Lamp of My Life Was Burned Out for Thee. And I think about that a lot. It's actually been part of my prayer life, you know, that I get one shot at this, and I want to make sure I do as much as possible for his kingdom. And I couldn't imagine, you know, when you are, we talk about it a lot, sharing the gospel out on the streets, doing the work of an evangelist as Joseph Pastor. That's from a pastoral epistle to pastors.
Yeah.
And doing the work of an evangelist, how a lot of times this cleans up doctrine. You know, going out and sharing and loving people with the truth.
Amen.
It cleans up your doctrine because you want to know the word so that you are, guess what, presenting it properly.
Said to show yourself approved.
And there's a lyric to piggyback on that, which is so counter to what you're saying, and you think this is a Christian band, so-called. They don't always like to be called that. It's a band, Skillet, and they have a song called Monster that says, the secret side of me, I never let you see. I keep it caged, but I can't control it. So stay away from me. The beast is ugly. I feel the rage, and I just can't hold it. This is supposed Christians saying these types of things.
Wow, so much for counting the old man dead.
Right.
You know, I've actually looked at that. I looked at that song a long time ago, and I happen to know that the songwriter for that song writes music for Metallica as well, by the way. But nonetheless,
well, that explains it.
Yeah, it totally explains it. But nonetheless,
he doesn't like to be. He doesn't like when people call his band a Christian band either.
Yeah, I
well, I don't
wouldn't
think
want
you
to
should
either.
Call him a Christian band after hearing that.
They
right?
don't play at churches. That's one thing that they say they won't do. Not that you.
Yeah, yeah, but
have
they
to
don't.
Churches,
they don't mind making the money off the
off
Christians.
The Christians. Yeah,
that typically happens a lot, and that could be a whole nother episode. And I plan on it being another episode. Is maybe some of these artists that would rather you not call them a Christian. You always have to wonder where somebody's heart's at when they would prefer not to be called a Christian. I know whether you're a plumber or, you know, whether you work down the street or I don't care where you work. If somebody called you a Christian, it's something you should glorify God in that name because when
Amen.
We see it in scripture, the term is always used in scripture about what someone else is calling
yeah.
the believer because what? Their lives are befitting of a follower of Christ,
That's
and
right.
therefore they're a Christian.
They were first called Christians in Antioch. If any one of you suffer as a Christian, you know.
And when the king asked Paul, "Should you know, would you want me to become a Christian?" Paul didn't say, "Well, I'd hate to call you that." No, he said, "Yeah, I just wish you weren't in these chains as I am." And I pray,
Amen, bro.
You wouldn't be chained by any false doctrine, and that they would be loosed, and that you would find the trueness of the gospel in Jesus Christ, as clearly portrayed in Scripture.
Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at goodfight.org, where we feature articles, videos, and life-changing resources on DVD and CD. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us in continuing to deliver powerful biblical content, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.